What does brushing your teeth well have to do serving God? Find out on this episode of Inverse. Hey, welcome to Inverse, everyone. We're having a special episode on habits. If you're wondering why I was talking about brushing your teeth, it has a lot to do with following God in a certain sense. We'll talk about that after we pray and we read a Bible verse. So Jared, lead us out in prayer if you don't
mind. Father in heaven, as we turn to your word, we pray for spiritual minds and for your presence to be here with us and those who are joining us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And in Israel, can you read Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11?
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Siku, why don't you enlighten us with that, with looking at those passages. What do you see there and what pops out?
What pops out to me is that this question of, is there anything that I can do that would result in a certain type of lifestyle? So here's a young man who's saying that I want to have a clean life. Is there anything that I can do, or am I doomed to, you know, the temptations that young men experience or young women? And what this text is saying, yes, there is something that you can do, not that your actions can save you per se, but there are things that you can incorporate into your life that will actually help you to accomplish certain goals. And in order to cleanse your way, he says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. By taking God's word, hiding in my heart, then it will actually help me to live a life that is not offensive to God.
Habits can be salvific, you know, and I think that's the essence of the text.
Oh, you can't drop a bomb like that and just kind of, what do you mean habits can be salvific?
Yeah, I mean, here David is speaking about the habit of storing your word, the word in your heart, and then that, you know, builds up, you know, a wall against sin. And so the habit of building, the habit of storing the word of God in our hearts ultimately builds a wall against sin. And so in this case, habits lead in some way to
salvation. There's cool things about a habit. I think I started off the teaser saying, hey, brushing your teeth, what does that have to do with godly living? And there's something that happens neurologically when a habit is formed. It's almost automatic. So brushing your teeth, my son, it has teeth, and brushing his teeth has been quite a chore. It's not a habit yet. But for me, I don't even have to think about it. I can actually be half asleep. It's automatic that I know where my toothbrush is. Hopefully I'm getting mine and not my wife's or my son's, but that would be pretty gross. I have to put the toothpaste on it, and I'm brushing, and I don't have to think about each tooth. I already done it so many times. It's just an automatic process. Zero willpower energy is expended, and my teeth are sparkling as a result. You know, I'm a movie star.
Debatable.
Spiritual application wise, there are these habits that we can do, which are different from actions. There is the action of memorizing scripture that we see here, and so for, I don't know about you all, but sometimes it can be a little bit, if it's not a habit, a little bit onerous and energy expending.
It takes the effort of a single action to lead to a habit.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, you know, because there are things that we want to come naturally to us as Christians. You know, like, I should naturally like reading my Bible. I should naturally like XYZ. And we're thinking in habit mode. Like, this naturally comes to me without even thinking about it. But there's that period of time, like with your son, there's that period of time where it takes effort in order to do it often enough that it becomes a part of your being.
Jared?
I was just going to say decisions, daily decisions form habits. Habits form your character, and your character determines your destiny. So it all starts with those little decisions that are repeated.
That initial decision makes the action from happening, and you repeat that over enough and becomes a habit, and that habit's set. Whether it's good or bad, and that's what happens, and
everybody,
it's automatic.
Everybody, anyone that you talk to would emphasize the need of habits over random actions. You know, it would be better, for example, for me to teach my children how to save money, how to save the pennies on a consistent basis than it would be for me to tell them, save this $10 bill every, you know, once a year. Because I know that they would build better wealth over time if they learn how to develop the habit of saving than they would be saving a large chunk of money. And so no matter who you speak with, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a finance manager, whoever they are, they would stress the need of forming habits, no matter how small they are, to better advance your position.
Let's start from a wide angle, and let's maybe step out of a spiritual zone for a moment, just for a fun question. Like, what are some habits that you guys would love to have, or you've been working on, and you've totally succeeded, or you've just kind of fallen off, and this is like attempt number 4,972. Any habits that come to mind? Siku, you're laughing profusely, which shows that there's a struggle going on with your carnal nature.
Yeah. There's a habit that I would like to have, and I would like to build the habit of having a salad, having a salad every day.
Yeah.
Just because I'm vegetarian,
really?
So I'm supposed to eat vegetables, right?
Oh, really?
But I grew up in a society where you cook your vegetables. You know, nobody eats grass like a cow. Uh-huh. You know, so it's.
Are you calling all those salad eaters? Cows?
Interesting.
Hey, I'm with you. I am not. I'm an anti-salatarian, so I don't like.
But you know, but it is. I was laughing
habit.
Within myself, because it's a habit that I would like to have a salad every day, but it's taking a while.
You know, it's funny because the last time we recorded for Inverse, I was getting off the airplane and I got a phone call from my wife, and. You know, I'm getting picked up from the airport, and I was staying at Jared's place, and all these things are going on, and I'm texting back and forth. She's calling. We're talking back and forth. And somehow, by the time it was all done, it happened in just a matter of minutes. I was kind of sitting down in the car thinking, and I was like, I think I just committed to doing 100 push-ups a day for a month, you know? And so I'm driving to Jared's house, and I'm thinking, like, how in the world am I going to do this, you know? And so the idea was to build habits, you know, not just to go out and max out, but to all of my strength, but to actually build habits of being healthy on a daily basis. This was, my wife is constantly trying to make me a more healthy person. And so I went to Jared's house. He's probably thinking, like, what in the world is this brother doing downstairs, right? I'm downstairs and I'm doing push-ups. And I max out. I max out at 100, right? I mean, not at
you
one shot.
You max out at 100?
Yeah, at 100. So I do 100.
Okay.
Nice.
I mean, it takes me like 15 minutes, but I do 100, right?
Okay.
And then the next day, I could not lift a book, right? And I'm thinking, like, how in the world am I going to do 100? How am I going to do two push-ups today?
Yeah.
You know? And so I did it, and it took me, like, throughout the whole day, I couldn't even do one. I'd be
hours.
Like, you know, so it takes me, you know, 15, 16 hours. And over time, it got to the point where over time, by the end of the month, I was able to do 100 push-ups just in one shot. And I was so proud of myself because I thought I would never get there. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I'd never get there. And so I was...
And then you kept the habit.
Yeah, well, I stopped the habit. Yeah. That was a one-month habit.
I was just going to ask, bro, how many push-ups did you do this morning?
That was a one-month habit. But you know what the crazy thing is? That I can right now, even though this was in January. So even though this was done in the month of January, I could do more push-ups now in one shot than I ever could. You know,
so
I mean, outside of that month. So
fruit from
that habit. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
So we've advanced, guys. You know, we now have different habits. Yeah.
Is there anything that comes to your mind? Any habits that you been up or down on?
We were talking earlier, like, I enjoy running. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the days where I could go out and run 14 miles, no problem, and I'm not that dude anymore.
Mm.
You know, and it's not hard. I mean, this is the challenge of cementing habits is when you have schedule changes, or we move from one town to another town, and my running routes, like, I still haven't established those in over a year. Mm-hmm. So it takes discipline, especially when we have life changes, to get back into those habits. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, really seeking to put God first and asking Him to help us in those things.
See, what I appreciate about the habit formation, like, regardless of what habit it is, I can't find the right word. It's almost like a principle that underlies the habit. And I thought of it when he said discipline, for instance. Mm-hmm. So the habit of running consistently or exercising, etc., it takes discipline, and really that's what you're cultivating through that habit is having discipline, mm-hmm. or learning how to save, like saving, you know, money, you know, saving 10 cents every time you spend a dollar. Mm-hmm. Like what you're cultivating is that is the underlying thing is you're learning how to save, like mm-hmm. how to manage your finances. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just about the habit itself, but like what undergirds it, you know, what character it develops in you as you're doing that thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you guys mentioned like these are all like good stuff. You guys mentioned I would say they're more like resolution in nature. These are things that you aspire for. But there's also these like micro habits that's just so automatic part of what we do. For example, like even as we're filming this inverse, like when we're done, automatically what happens is we take out our phones and we just look at our feed or anything that happens. And sometimes we do that totally uncognizant of the people or mm-hmm. the circumstance that we're in. Oh, I already got a message. So I'm looking here, and it's already in my mind that these are habits.
Yeah.
A habit that I've tried to develop is not something more resolution in nature, but just I watched a YouTube video, which is another habit that I have, watching YouTube videos. But to develop making my bed in the morning, mm-hmm. where a certain Marine or a soldier guy said you do this, and it just Navy primes your mind for the whole day.
Yeah.
So let's now bring this into a spiritual discussion. What are some habits that we need to develop spiritually in the context of stewardship that we've been talking about this quarter? Anything that comes to mind?
Well, I think the obvious one is the habit of studying the Bible. Mm. You know, and for me, I don't know when you talk about, you know, the brushing your teeth analogy and that kind of a thing. I don't know if there's ever a time when habits eliminate the struggle. You know, I think I've watched, you know, people who are professional athletes. For a while, I was into triathlon, you know, running, swimming, and cycling. And so I got caught up into watching professional athletes, and just recently, you know, looking at a lot of people who are doing these things. And these are professional, healthy athletes that are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And even though they get paid millions of dollars to do this, even though they're super healthy, it's still a struggle for them to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I think the habit of studying the Bible, it's an important one, and I don't think it necessarily makes things easier, but I don't think it eliminates hardship always.
At a certain point, at least neurologically, it takes very minimal willpower to get it going. So mm-hmm. for my son to put on his shoe, I mean, it takes like a whole operatic operation to work. But mm-hmm. for me, you just, you know, you pop your foot in, and there's
you don't have shoelaces in your sandals.
It's a slip-on, so okay.
So
spiritually, I guess the point is not whether it's hard or difficult, but we have these emotional ups and downs in our spiritual lives, and these habits carry us through the bad times.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that's kind of a cool
thing. True, yeah.
Jerry, you want to say something?
I was just going to say that what Israel's talking about, seeking God first, studying the Bible, what that does is creates a pattern of spiritual mindedness. Mm-hmm. And I think when you come into contact with things throughout the day, when a song comes on the radio, whether you choose to listen to it, or whether you choose to say, is this going to benefit me spiritually, or whatever the situation might be, it's cultivating that God-centeredness mm-hmm. where you're able to evaluate and you're bringing him into your decision-making. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is foundational.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been looking at a lot of habits about spiritual things and secular. Stay tuned after the break, and we're going to look at about four or five other very this last time oriented habits that we all need to develop. So we'll see you on the other side of the break. Hey, welcome back to Inverse here. We've been talking about habits. Any other habits that come to mind when it comes in terms of stewardship?
Well, you've asked us about developing habits that, or talking about habits that we ourselves personally are trying to develop. And one thing that I'm trying to develop is the habit of not worrying. Many times we don't think about worry as a habit. I think it is. I think it's we can work against that or we can work for that. I have the privilege of working with an organization that works with public universities. I direct campus. And part of my job description is to raise funds to help the organization to run. And, you know, for a long time, I've been doing this now for a while, and for a long time, it was something that really weighed heavily on me. If I don't get money, how am I going to pay the people that work with me, and how am I going to get enough money for the people to do their work on these public universities? And through a long process, I learned that I was worrying a lot, and that this is a chronic problem that I had. And so I said, you know, God, more than money, more than getting money, I want you to teach me how not to worry so much about things that I cannot control. And so I try to establish the habit of not worrying about things that I can't control.
What were some things that practically that you did that did that?
The main thing is, the first thing that I did is I try to focus on the past by trying to be reasonable. How many times has God failed me? And so I started thinking about this, and I realized God has never actually failed me, you know? And so that's one thing that I did. Another thing that I did to try to avoid worrying is, worry is something that you're anticipating. You know, you're anticipating something that is coming up, and so you're worried about that. And so you're worried about something, you're anticipating something that may or may not happen. And so I try to think like, hey, this might not even happen, so if you're going to complain and fuss about it, why don't you at least wait until it happens, you know? And that way you don't waste your time thinking about stuff that may. So those are the two things that I've done, and I'm not free from worry. But I've definitely have grown a lot over the last year in how much I worry.
Yeah.
Can I share something related from my life is recently my husband and I recently had a newborn baby, and every pregnancy is different for every woman, but this pregnancy was challenging for me because, you know, hormones make you think crazy things, like really. and the challenge for me was my husband couldn't do anything right. Like, he did do things right, but, you know, like, my mind was not working properly. And I'm sharing this because the application was for my relationship with God, too. And I realized that every day I need to take some time and sit down and intentionally, until it becomes a habit again, intentionally think, what did my husband do right today? You know, and because I know he cannot be that wrong. He cannot do everything wrong in the world. And sometimes it would take a while. Sometimes it would take a while, but just really sit down and think, okay, well, he took out the trash. I appreciate that he took out the trash. And then after a while, I realized I need to do this in my relationship with God, developing an attitude of gratitude towards God, that taking time every day to think, what has the Lord done for me that I didn't thank him for today, you know, and just take the time to sit down and think about it. And that's, I think, for a steward, for someone who's responsible to God, just thinking, has my master ever wronged me? And I thought of it because of what Israel said. Has my master ever wronged me? Has he been a fair master towards me? And when you stop and you think about it, and it's like, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for, to have such a gracious and giving master.
No, it's a cool little tip that, like, you know, and the Bible says, like, remember the past, remember, remember, and that which we remember gives us strength for the future. Let's go to Luke chapter 12 here, and I'll read from verse 35 onward. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. The Bible says in verse 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if you should come in the second watch, come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. I really like this. It's kind of maybe the opposite, same kind of tip, but on the opposite end. We should remember the past, but we should also calibrate our futures, that the Bible is painting this picture of a punctiliar event in the future that is the epitome of all human history. And from that perspective, you know, that puts brushing my teeth and garbage and my wife and my children and my moral, all these things is formulated around that.
That takes the idea of God mindfulness and fixes it to this specific event, which is the second coming, and being mindful in preparing for that and realizing that there's this event that all of humanity, all of Scripture is pointing towards, and how do I relate to that? How am I preparing for that? How am I helping other people be ready for that? It's awesome.
And we need to be very mindful of the second coming, but not in a freak, weird, fearful way, and Planet X and Nibiru and the world coming to an end in September and three hurricanes and that stuff. Just looking at what Jesus has to say and his plan and prophecy.
And I think it just the word with respect to stewardship and the second coming that comes to my mind is accountability, is realizing that I am responsible to God, and a time is coming where I'm going to stand before the one who has entrusted me with the stewardship, and I'm going to have to answer for it. And will I be able to say that I've been faithful with what you've given me? I have invested, you know, the talents that you gave to me. And I think that that mindfulness of that there's a future time coming is a sense of accountability to something that's greater than me.
Can I ask how are the practical ways that we develop that mindfulness? And we're going to talk about other habits too, but these are all great habits. But I just, these, they all sound good, and I know I want to, but I'm asking also, like, do you guys, what are ways, like, we talked about Bible memorization, we talked about remembering the past, but mindfulness can be almost the catchphrase for some other, you know, and mindlessness, or like reading some you know, whatever, you know, stuff. Like, so help me here. Anything that comes to mind, Israel?
You know, when we think about the second coming, I think it's easy for us to focus on the, you know, the Bible's very clear about different signs that are going to take place just before Jesus comes. And we use these things as like ways to shock us, you know, but the purpose of the second coming being on our mind is the need to focus on the now while we have time. You know, and a lot of people think, oh, if you believe in the second coming, then you're not going to take care of the environment, you're not going to take care of the things that matter most, you're not going to care about social justice. No, not so, right? As a matter of fact, the second coming gives urgency to what we do now. And so I think that that's what I love about this passage, that is talking about the wise steward is a person who will be ready when he comes, regardless of when he comes. And so one way in which I think it's important for us to focus on the second coming is by focusing on what we have now and developing what we have now, and not what we don't have or what we may have or what we've lost.
I love that.
You know, and so I think things that I'm trying to do in my life that are helping me in this situation is, there are people that we have in our midst right now. And so what can I do to value and to be kind to and to love the people that are in my sphere of influence and in my circle right now? What can I do to love these people right now? They might not be here tomorrow. They might be somewhere else. They might pass away. I might pass away. But what can I do with the present to make the present better right now? And living in the now moment, developing the habit of helping people now, it's preparing also for the future.
That makes the question that I've been thinking of, if Jesus were to come tomorrow, how would I live my life today? Right? And that makes that a reality, the observation.
That's a better way of putting it, more concise. Good job.
I've talked to, you know, some young people, and they're like, oh, well, Jesus is coming soon. What's the point of going to college? Or Jesus is coming soon. What's the point of XYZ? And really the question is, it's not about, if the fact that Jesus is coming, how would that change what you are doing right now? And are you going to college because Jesus is not coming? Then there's a problem. You know, you're getting married because Jesus isn't coming. There's a problem with that. So the fact that Jesus is coming actually should give urgency, give meaning to what you're currently doing, to the everyday activities of your life, is in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming soon.
Awesome. Let's look at other habits that you are mindful of. We're using that term, Jared.
Self-discipline is a big one. And Paul actually talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
1 Corinthians
chapter 9. He's dealing with this.
Verse 24. Want to read that for us when you get there?
I can if I ever get there.
I have it. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, read it, please.
Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown.
So I'm reading this verse and I'm thinking, okay, temperance or self-control.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians in chapter 5 in writing to the church, he says, he lists self-control as one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So he's calling us to self-control, but he's also very mindful of the fact that I have no self-control apart from the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So self-control really, or self-discipline, is continual surrender to the Holy Spirit. And again, I think it's not looking at what I can do or what I can produce or how I can control or discipline myself, as important that is, but it's simply learning to walk with Jesus and yoking up with Him and allowing Him to be the guardian of my life and my thoughts. Yeah.
You know, what's crazy is that, like, for everything else, we are pro-discipline, right? Like, when it comes to school time, hey, you know, like, stay up all night and study. I mean, it's, you know, mind over matter. You got to ace this exam. When it comes to sports, you got to push. Your mind's got to go over your body. Even if your body's telling you quit, you got to keep on going. But then when it comes to spirituality, and we try to encourage discipline, all of a sudden,
that's too much effort.
Yeah, you're legalistic. You know, what in the world? And so I appreciate this text here because it talks about, you know, putting religion, the life of a religious individual, where it ought to be. We should, because we want to, because we care. We should, because we take it seriously. We should treat religion and our walk with Christ in such a way as we would if we were striving for a prize, mm-hmm. right? Because we are. We're aiming for an imperishable crown.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, too, like, I think practically speaking, a way to encourage self-discipline in your own life. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I keep coming back to food, but is in the area of food. Okay.
You're post-recovering after a pregnancy. Yeah, food is.
But you know, if you can have self-discipline when there's that piece of a triple chocolate cake, you know, that's like in front of you, and
or chocolate bar, pumpkin seeds.
If you can have self-discipline when it comes to the area of food, because like self-discipline is this principle that's in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And you develop the art of self-discipline, and it's transferable. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do think it's important. Like if you have self-discipline in school or in sports, that's something that can be transferable into your spiritual life. Mm-hmm. But you have to be intentional to transfer it. But I think even with food, you know, if I can be disciplined in the area of food, mm-hmm. I have a chance of being disciplined, you know, in spiritual things.
Hey, this is a great discussion on habits. How many of you have been blessed by? These are some habits that I want to pick up. Hopefully you want to pick up. And we're not doing this just for discipline's sake. We're doing this for Jesus' sake. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for watching Inverse. God bless you. We'll see you in the next episode here on Inverse.